Promise number one, I promise that while you're at camp this week, you're going to have fun. You guys agree with that?
Oh, yeah.
Who's had fun already? Like playing Gold Rush, right? Okay, and if you didn't raise your hand there, then first of all, I don't know what's wrong with you. Second of all, I promise that at some point this week, you're going to experience something, even if it's 1 minute. We're like, wow, that was fun. That was better than what I could have done if I was just sitting at home all week being bored in my bedroom. Okay, so press promise one. You're going to have a great time at camp. Promise two, I promise you that your cabin leaders love you. I promise you that your cabin leaders who are sitting in the same row as you right now, I promise that they care for you, that they're here to be your friend, they want to hang out with you, they want to get to know you. I promise you that they've been praying for you before they even knew you. That's true. We prayed earlier today for you all who'd be coming today, that your hearts would be open, that you'd have a fun time, that, man, our staff here is amazing. I should know. I hired all of them, and they love you guys so much. So I promise you that if you get to know them, that if you're honest with them and open with them, I promise they're going to listen, that they'll pray for you, and they will just love on you guys. So don't be afraid to be honest with them, right? Don't be afraid to tell them the truth. Even if there's something that is said in chapel, you're like, I don't know if I agree with that. I really don't know about this Jesus guy. Like, if you have thoughts like that, you can tell your cabin leaders. They can handle it. They've probably heard far worse things, right? So just, yeah, be honest with them. Keep it real, and just know that they love you, and they're here to help you guys have an awesome week. Sound good? Who already thinks that they have an awesome cabin leader? Okay, that's maybe a dangerous question to ask, but luckily I didn't see like a whole row like with their hands down. That would have been really bad. So I won't ask that one again. I'll file that one away. All right, your third promise. This is the most risky promise, but I think it's going to be true. I promise that if you listen this week, you will learn something new about Jesus. I promise that if you listen this week, you'll learn more about Jesus. Right? My hope and my prayer for all of you is that by the time we get to Saturday, you walk away from this week of camp saying, I know Jesus better now than I did on Sunday. And the reason I think I can make this promise is because it's not my promise I'm making. I think it's God's promise that he makes to us. Right? In Scripture, God says that his word is living and active. He says it never returns void. And let me tell you, I promise this week between myself and Caleb and your cabin leaders, we're going to spend a lot of time in God's word, right? And I know God's word does not return void. So my prayer for you is, would your hearts just be open? Right? Would you be open to receiving these things, praying for your ears to receive the good things that God has for you? And I promise you that if you do that, you'll hear something from God. All right, so those are my three promises. You're going to have fun. Your cabin leaders are here for you, and they love you. You're going to have a blast getting to know them. And you're going to grow in your faith. You're going to learn more about God. Sound good? Are we all signed up for a good week? Okay, good. All right, let's get rolling. And maybe, I should say, maybe some of you, oh man, I don't know. I'm curious how you might have responded when I said this week, right? You're probably on board with the fun, probably on board with like, okay, I'm a cabin leader. They seem cool, I think. I don't know. But I'm curious about that third promise, if there's some mixed reaction to that. And if there is, I'm okay with it. But I'm guessing some of you are probably excited. Like, yeah, I know the drill about camp, right? I've been coming 5 years or more. I know that when I come to camp, I learn more about Jesus. But maybe some of you are like, oh man, I knew this was a Christian camp, but we actually have to like learn things and talk about Jesus, talk about our feelings. Like, we have to read our Bibles. Like, I don't know. I don't know. So I'm just curious. You don't necessarily have to answer this question, but if I ask you, who is Jesus to you? I'm curious to hear how some of you would answer that question. All right, if I said Jesus is blank, what would you put in that blank? And maybe that's just something you think about. I'm not asking for like you to raise your hand and tell the whole camp like how you'd answer this question. But just initial, like first thing that comes to your mind, when you think of Jesus, what's he doing? How do you picture him? What adjective comes to mind? Jesus is blank. And maybe if that's not a question we're going to talk about openly here in this room, maybe that's a question you ask some other people in your cabin tonight. Like, hey, when Eric said, like, asked us who we think Jesus is, like, how did you answer that question? Ask your cabin leaders. Hey, cabin leader, how did you answer that question? Who do you think Jesus is? Yeah, that's a pretty important question to answer, because I don't know about you, but I see a lot around me whether it's news, social media, my own Bible, or friends I talk to, people I talk to in my community, who have a lot of opinions, not only about who Jesus is, but have a lot of opinions about what Christianity is all about, like what religion looks like in the world and how we live out a religion. I have a lot of friends, frankly, have a lot of opinions about the church, whether right or wrong, good or bad. Like, there are a lot of voices that tell us who they think Jesus is, what they think Christianity is all about, and what they think the church is about. Like, would you guys say you have a lot of voices coming at you, telling you, shaping your opinion on these things? Just nod your head if you agree with me. Yeah, raise your hand if you ever get like any mixed messages. I'm like, well, I thought Jesus was like this, but I'm not sure. A couple hands. And I just want to especially apologize. If there are any of you that have ever been hurt by a church or by a pastor or like led astray, or like, man, I don't know what to believe about Jesus. I thought he was this way, but I don't know. I started reading this or hearing this, and now I'm not so sure anymore. Right? Well, you come to the right place because this is going to be something that we look at all week. Who is Jesus? How do other people answer this question? Rather, not necessarily how do other people answer this question, but how does Scripture answer this question? Right? What does Jesus say about himself? Because frankly, I don't care what your friends at school or what your parents or people in your community or what your social media feed says about Jesus. Even though some of them might say really, really good things, I say that kindly, like, I don't care what they say. Of course I care. I hope that they're saying the right things. But I care way more about what Jesus says about himself. I care way more about what Scripture says about who Jesus is, because this is the source. I know I can trust this. Right? I know I can't trust everything I hear on the news. I can't trust everything I see in social media. I certainly can't trust everything I hear from people in my community. Right? You see where I'm going with this? I can trust everything that God's Word tells me. So this week, we're going to look at God's Word. You guys on board with that? All right, and so as we look at God's Word, and as we answer that question, Jesus is blank, I just want you to be honest in how you answer that question. Right now, for tonight, like, I don't care if you just spew out whatever, right? I said the first thing that comes to your mind. I don't care if that answer is right. I don't care if it's wrong. I care that it's honest, right? Even if your answer is, I think Jesus is a phony. I think Jesus is not who he says he is. Right? I think Jesus is someone who lets me down. I think Jesus is someone who I can't trust. Right? There are moments in my life where some of those thoughts have been entertained in my mind. Right? And that's why I say, I don't care. Like, because some of you might know what's right, right? You know it's not right to say that Jesus is such and such, right? Because you know we're a Christian camp and you probably know what the right answer should be. Right? Don't worry about being right this week. I care more about you being honest. Right? Would you just be honest? Who do you say Jesus is? If he's someone you're like, man, I know I should think this way about him because I've been raised in church and here's what my parents say, but right now I feel like I'm living over here, right? Jesus feels like just this side piece or like, yeah, sometimes he's part of my life, but sometimes I can do without him and I don't really think about him. Like, there can be weeks or months that go by where like my faith isn't really part of my life. Like, be honest about that. This is the place to talk about those things, right? Don't give me the right answer. Give me the honest answer. Give your cabin leaders the honest answer. So to look at this answer this week, right, to answer this question, who is Jesus, we're going to look in our Bibles in the book of John. So if you guys want to begin turning there, you can. We're just going to look at John chapter 1 tonight. And as you're turning there, I just want to talk a little bit about who is John. Right, we talk about a lot of names in the Bible. Right? There's guys like Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Right? Some of these guys who were disciples. Right? John was a disciple of Jesus. So that means about the time John was a teenager, possibly his early 20s, but probably he was your age, right? We have teenagers here in the room. John, from that age on, started following Jesus. And for 3 whole years of his life, from the time Jesus was 30 years old till 33, he went all around ancient Israel, around Jerusalem, Galilee, some of these ancient cities that we might hear about today. Right? Jesus was a real person who actually lived and taught and did things for 3 years among many people, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, those are just a couple of the guys that saw Jesus, interacted with him. Matthew, Mark, and John, they were disciples of Jesus who followed him around closely everywhere he went for these 3 years. all the crowds he interacted with, all the people he healed, the teachings he gave. Right? These are the people who were with Jesus 24/7 for all of it. And we are fortunate today to look at our Bibles and say, man, I don't know a single person who was alive 2,000 years ago. Right? I wasn't around then, but John was. And for some reason, John said, you know, being around this Jesus guy, like, changed my life in such a way that I'm going to devote years of my life to writing these things down, talking to others about them, and making sure they get preserved through 2,000 years of history so that we can hold these pages in our hands today. Isn't that incredible? All right, John, this real guy who lived 2,000 years ago, gave up 3 years of his life to follow Jesus. And I, like, to use this as an example, right, I care way more about what John says about Jesus than I would care about any other voice in this world. Right? Because if I want to know who Jesus actually is, I want to know what Jesus actually said. I don't want to know what your crazy uncle on social media thinks about Jesus. I want to know what John thinks about Jesus, because he was with the guy for 3 years. Does that make sense? Right? Do you understand? Do you see the value of God's word? This is our best source. If you think you don't know who God is, or you're confused, or have misconceptions about how good Jesus is, I just point you to Scripture. I say, this is the clearest way we can see Jesus, and we're going to look at the words of John this week. I know I promised we were going to get to John chapter 1, and we will, but before we do, I'm actually going to ask, can somebody run me a wireless mic? I'm going to get a couple like pieces of input here from you all, from the audience, because I would say that if we could talk to John, I know we can't, but if we could, if we asked John, what's the most important thing in your life you've ever written? I'm guessing he would say that it's these 21 chapters that we have today in our Bibles. Would you guys agree with that? Right, I can't think of anything that John would consider more important than this, but I want to hear from some of you all. What would you say is the most important thing that you've ever written in your life? So actually, I want you to throw up a hand. I'm going to come around and like ask a couple of you. Maybe I don't even need the mic. I don't know. Yeah, what you got? You can just yell it out, actually. All right, he writes stories to entertain his friends. Those are the most important thing. Why are they important to you?
It's important because it helps me bond with them and it gives me a greater value.
That's a great answer. He said it helps him. He writes stories to tell his friends because it helps bond together. It's an outlook? It gives you a creative outlook on life?
Yes.
Yeah, great answer. Okay, how about you in the back? What's the most important thing you've ever read or written? Your English essay exam. That's pretty important. You want to graduate high school, right? Presumably, maybe go to college someday. So, did you pass the class? Pretty important. Barely. All right, nice job passing English. Way to go. All right, can I ask you, what was your purpose for writing the exam? Okay, so your purpose is you want to pass high school, right? You don't want to fail. That's a great purpose. Well, so let's maybe get one or two more. The most important thing you've ever written. Yeah.
My job application.
Your job application. Did you get the job?
I did.
You did. All right, it worked. That's great. That's pretty important, right? And why did you fill out that application? She said she filled out the application to show that she's a hard worker, willing to go the distance, right? Go the extra mile. I'm here, sign up for the work, right? Probably some motive of that. I was like, I want some money. I'm in high school, right? Some spending money would be great, or I want to save you for whatever's next in life, right? Okay, so maybe think about that, right? What's the most important thing that you've ever written? It's pretty crazy to think about how John would answer that question. Right, think about the purpose, right? A couple different purposes here. Creativity, if we want to pass high school. So trying to show that you're a hard worker, right? Trying to persuade someone, here's why you should hire me, right? Many different purposes exist. And before we actually get to John chapter 1, I know I had you turn there, but I'm actually going to have you flip to the very end of the book. Keep a finger in John 1, but flip to John 20. And if you're not a big fan of spoilers, then I'm sorry, but we're going to just cut to the end. We're going to read John's conclusion before we read anything else. Because all of what John is writing through the first 20 chapters of his book, he writes with these verses in mind in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. Right, everything that John wrote about what he observed in Jesus' life, this is why he tells us what he did. John tells us in verse 30, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. So that is to say, John's saying in the first 19 chapters, assuming that you read all of it, John's saying, here's 19 chapters worth of stuff, but I followed Jesus for 3 years, right? There's a lot more I could have said that I didn't say. There's a lot of things Jesus did, a lot of things he said that frankly aren't recorded in the Gospels, right? In these Gospels, we only get a glimpse into the 3 years that Jesus walked and lived on this earth. And man, sometimes I wish we had more of it, right? But here's what John does give us, right? He gives us the assurance. He said, even though we couldn't include everything, here's what you should know about the things that we did include. All right, let's look at verse 31. All right, the things that we did write, these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Wow, like that just blows my mind. John, after following Jesus for 3 years, he says, it became evident to him at some point, like, okay, Jesus, I saw him die on the cross. He rose from the dead. He went back into heaven. I don't think he's coming back soon. Right? Maybe he's not going to come back in my lifetime. John didn't know for sure. He said, and in case Jesus doesn't come back in my lifetime, I have to find a way to let other people know. Right? I got to start writing stuff down. I got to talk to everybody I know. Let's write down all the things that Jesus did. Because why? Because we know that if people believe rightly about Jesus, if they believe he's the Messiah, if they believe that Jesus is the one, the Son of God, and nobody else is, that's how you can have life. Let me just say, no offense to my three volunteers who raised their hands, but John is more inspiring to me than the answers you guys gave me. Can I say that? Again, no offense, great answers. I applaud your boldness for raising your hand, but wouldn't we agree that when I read John's purpose for writing, I'm inspired, right? Like, I want to read more. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna pick on you for a second. I think you can handle it. But like, do I really want to read some girl's essay that she threw together at midnight some night just because she didn't want to fail English class? Like, no, I've been there myself too. And if I read that document, I'd be like pretty embarrassed of what I put together, right? Like, there's no worth or no value in passing that around. But look at what John said, right? John's like, this isn't just something I threw together for no reason at all. I'm writing this down because I think if you believe rightly about what's written in these chapters, you can have life. And I would say if you're not inspired by that, you have to admit you're at least curious. Right? If somebody's claiming to write down things that can give me life, I'm going to crack it open, be like, I wonder what this is all about. Right? And that's what we're going to get into with the book of John. So we are going to get into John chapter 1. You can turn back there. We'll spend the rest of our evening in these couple 14 verses that John uses to start his gospel. And as we do, I'm just going to pray for us a short prayer. Just bow your heads with me. Father, we pray what we just sang. We ask you to speak to us. Speak, O Lord. May your word, as we read it together tonight, may our hearts be open to receive it. May our ears hear and understand correctly. May we receive and see the good things you have for us in your word, Father. Amen. All right, here's what John says in John chapter 1. Maybe you're familiar with these verses, maybe you're not, but let's read it together. If you don't have a Bible, just let your cabin leader know right now. We can have someone from the back even bring you one. If you throw up a hand, let us know. But I want all of us to get into our Bibles this week and engage in God's word. So here's what John says, John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. We're actually going to pause there for a second. That phrase, in the beginning, what does that make you think of? Where else in Scripture do we see that phrase? In the beginning. Yeah. Genesis, right? Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay, so John purposefully is borrowing from this language of Genesis, right? This time of creation where we know that it was just God existing by himself. Like nothing was created yet at this point. It was just God. And John calls us back to have that in mind. Right, in the beginning, God created. Nope, not that. In the beginning was the Word. That's what John says. In the beginning was the Word. Okay, what Word is John talking about? He's talking about the words spoken by God back in Genesis. Right? Think about that. In the beginning, when it was just God, he said, what? Like, let there be light. Let there be animals. Let there be fish. Let there be water. Let there be the sun and the moon. The Word of God was present. That's what John is just saying here. He's calling us back to Genesis. In the beginning was the Word of God that spoke everything at this camp into existence. The trees, the lake, the animals, the grass, everything. The Word was in the beginning. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's what John says. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, through the Word, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. We know that to be true because in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, God creates everything by speaking it into existence. Right? And John is just connecting these dots because he's starting to put it all together. Right? After all this time of walking with Jesus, John is saying, yes, he is God. Right? Jesus is God. And I don't even know how to like articulate this well, but he's making the connection that if Jesus is God, then that means he was there when all the stuff in Genesis was taking place. And that would have just been a mind-blowing fact, a mind-blowing thing to think about for the people of John's time, right? Like, what do you mean, this human, this Jesus guy? He was with God back at the beginning? John's like, that's exactly what I'm saying. This Word that spoke everything into existence, this is Jesus, right? This is the same power we saw from him, all these miracles that he's done. This is the same power that he displayed that spoke everything into existence thousands and thousands of years ago. And John says, in him, in Jesus was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So these are John's concluding statements, right? He's writing all this after the fact. After living life with Jesus for 3 years, he says, I've lived a long life, and Jesus, this guy, yes, he is the life, right? He's the light that's come into the dark places. This dark world, John's saying, I've seen a lot of evil, I've seen a lot of sin, I've seen a lot of darkness in this world. Jesus, he's the light. He's the one who makes everything better. And that's good news for you. If you feel like you're at a place coming to camp right now and you're just lost in darkness, then, man, this has to be good news for you. Because I have good news. Jesus is light. If you feel dark and lonely, empty, depressed, if you feel like you're just in a dark spot and nobody gets you, hear me say this loud and clear. Right? Jesus is the life that is the light of all mankind. Right? And that light is good news for your darkness. So John goes on to say, in verse 6, it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He's not talking about himself here, which is kind of tricky. He's talking about John the Baptist. He says, John the Baptist, in verse 7, came as a witness to testify concerning that light. Right? He came to talk about Jesus so that through him, so that through John the Baptist, all might believe. Right? He himself, John the Baptist, was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. So John here, the author of this gospel, is saying, hey, like, you don't have to take my word for it, right? Talk to John the Baptist. He was here too. He saw what Jesus did. Like, talk to him. He'll tell you the same things I'm telling you about Jesus. Right? He's life. He's light. These are themes we're going to see all week come out through the Gospel of John. Right, these things are going to continue. And here's what John reiterates. He says, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Let's make sure we hear that loud and clear. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. So if you heard what I said earlier and you said, man, Eric, like this light that comes to the darkness, I'm in a dark spot, but I don't know. I'm not as good as everyone else. Like, would Jesus really come for me? I say, yeah, that's what John tells us, right? This is the light that gives light to everyone has come into the world. In verse 10, John says, Jesus was in the world, and though the world was made through him, right, through the Word speaking everything into existence, though the world was made through Jesus, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. He came to that which was his own. Right? He came to humankind. He came even to the Jews, right? The nation of Israel, who were God's chosen people all through the Old Testament. Right? If you've read through the book of Exodus, you know how God's heart for saving his people, right? These are the people that Jesus came to, right? The specially chosen people of all the earth that God was going to save. Jesus came especially to them. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to those who did receive him, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. All right, so here John is saying, here's this Jesus I'm talking about. He's here to give you life, and he's here to give you an entrance into God's family. By believing in Jesus, if you know what's right about him, you can be in God's family. God the Father, who's the Father of the Son, who's the Father of Jesus, he's inviting you to be a child into his family as well. And this is different than your earthly parents, right? Because he's making a distinction here, right? It's not that you disown your earthly parents and now you are only a child of God. He's saying, actually, it's a different kind of birth here. Right? We're talking about a spiritual rebirth. Right? It's not of natural descent, so it doesn't matter who your parents are. It doesn't matter what town you come from, how well-respected you are in your community, how much money you have, what your reputation is. Right? None of those things about how you came about into this world through the natural order of things, none of that matters. John says, what matters is how you can have life, you can have it in Jesus. That's how you become part of God's family. Not through the natural way of doing things, because the natural way of doing things, man, it certainly does matter who your parents are. Right? It matters what kind of situation you're born into. It matters who you know. It matters what kind of situation you find yourself in life, what family you're born into. That matters in this world. But John is saying, in God's family, there's something else that matters. Right? What matters is, do you believe in Jesus? Because if you believe rightly about him, you can be in God's family. You have the right to become a child of God. And that's good news because that invitation is open to everybody, regardless of your natural birth, right? Your natural parents. That's good news for us. And John concludes this section by saying this. He says, going back to verse 1, thinking about this, the word that I talked about earlier, right? This word became flesh. The word became flesh. Like, we could stop here the rest of the night. We could spend all week talking about this because even I don't understand. I was thinking and praying through this, like, how do I articulate this truth? How do I explain this? Right? The same word that said, let there be light, like, that word became flesh? Like, how does that even work? Like, I can't even fathom just, like, speaking an apple into existence, right? Like, that just blows my mind, right? If I say the word apple, I can't make an apple appear. Yet John's saying, that's what God did, right? The word that was present at the beginning, that spoke everything into existence, this word is now present in the flesh. Right? This word became a human. He made his dwelling among us. Right? God the Father, who is so other, so different, so much higher above all of us, he said, I'm going to dwell among you. Right? You are my people, and I see you living in darkness, and I'm going to bring the light. Right? Nothing else in this entire earth can be the light. I am bringing the light to you, and the light has to be myself. Nothing else can do it. It has to be me. And that's why the Father said, I'm going to dwell among my people. I'm going to make myself one of them and become a human. And that's what we see in the person of Jesus. Right? We've seen his glory, the glory of Jesus, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father. And man, Jesus came full of grace and he came full of truth. This is the person. This is the truth. This is the beauty and the good news that we get to explore for the rest of the week. And hopefully tonight I fulfilled part of my promise, that you got a little glimpse into understanding and seeing a little bit more of who Jesus is, and gaining an appreciation of, like, I see why John was so excited to write these things down. I see that why this is the most important thing John could have committed his life to, was making sure that we had these words in our hand so that we can have life. Because I feel it. Right? I'm a creature living in darkness, and man, do I need some light in my life. Like, thank goodness Jesus has come. But here's the thing. I know that maybe not everyone in this room is going to respond the same way. Because even John, the disciple, showed us this as he was writing this down. Right? He was in the world. Jesus was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. And his own did not receive him. So I recognize there may be some of you in this room who will hear everything that I say, everything that Caleb says, everything that your cabin leaders say, and you're going to say, nope, that's not for me. I don't want to receive that. I'm going to keep doing things my own way. I've heard what you say Jesus is. John, I'm reading what you're saying here. I'm seeing all these things that Jesus is saying about himself, but thanks, but no thanks. I'm not going to receive Jesus. And frankly, it wouldn't surprise me if some people did respond that way. Right, John knows, right? He did ministry with Jesus for 3 years. And you'll see it as you read through his gospel. Every time Jesus talks, every time he preaches, there are two ways that people respond. All right, some people leave Jesus. Some people try to kill him because they think it's blasphemy that a man would claim to be God. All right, they did not receive Jesus. But here's the promise John gives. All right, to all who do receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gives the right to become children of God. And my prayer is this week that you receive Jesus in that manner, that you look at him the same way John did and said, yes, this is the Messiah. This is the sent one from God in the flesh. This is the Son of God himself. I believe that he is the only one who can give me the life that I've been looking for. Because this world is leaving me empty. This world has nothing for me. And I just have to cling to Jesus. That's my hope, is that you can respond that way as we look at the words of John. My hope and prayer for you all is that John's purpose rings true in your heart, is that you may see, you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Let me pray for you all, and I'll send you out to be with your cabins. Father, we thank you so much for this week here ahead of us. We thank you for the students, the campers here in this room who've given up a week of their summer to be here. God, thank you for the gift of being with new people, making friends, having fun, just enjoying everything that camp has to offer. God, we also thank you for the gift of your word. We thank you for John and his willingness to faithfully write down these things that he saw Jesus do, the things that he heard Jesus say. God, we have hearts that are open to receiving these things from you this week. What our hearts find so much promise and hope in these words. God, in comparison with everything else in life, just seems so empty and so worthless compared to the surpassing knowledge of knowing Jesus as our Savior and as our Lord. So God, I thank you for the discussions that will follow. I pray that they'd be honoring to your name, and I pray that everybody here would feel okay being honest, that we can be true about what we're feeling, what we're thinking, what we're doubting. And God, I pray that you just show up and reveal yourself to us. Would you make yourself known that we can know you better this week? Amen. All right, you guys are good to head to your devos, and we will see you tomorrow morning at breakfast.